Welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil. I'm Shane Stetsony. As always, he is Brent Smith. Brent, Antigo Lines Roaring Raceway rounds 3 and 4, just a couple days away as the listeners are hearing this episode of the podcast. You excited to get back to a familiar place?
Yeah, first of all, what's up, Shane? Man, yeah, I'm excited to go back to the short track. We went from the long straightaways, which are favorite to a lot of drivers, but to get to that little bull ring, Antigo Lions Roaring Raceway, one of our favorites, and it's so historic. Such a small town, and it brings a lot of great people.
Yeah, other than Crandon and Bark River, Antigo, the longest standing off-road racetrack that's still operating. You know, they had that few year period where they didn't have any racing there, but a lot of history there. I'm just excited because, you know, Antigo, Lena, Crandon, ERX, Bark River, these tracks that we've been going to essentially our whole lives, but working together these last 5+ years, the town, the track itself, it kind of feels like a second home. All those places do. So as much fun as Wheatland was and all the travel and everything along with it, I'm excited to go to another racetrack that feels like a second home.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really close to home for us. I mean, it's a couple hours away, and it's a beautiful place and great people, like we said, and Mother Nature seems to be on our side going into the weekend. And I can remember as a kid going there and just never knew what weather was going to be like. 90% of the time we put numbers on top of the cars or the trucks so we
bring
can
that
read
back
the numbers.
By the way, I'm all for the TP number plates, the folded tent number plates on top of the buggies, at least bring those back, please.
Yeah, we had to put those up back in the day, and that was what was so much fun. And now, I mean, the track does stay together, but we always say about that red clay, Shane, you don't get that off for the rest of the season, maybe not even for two.
I had a pair of white shoes. They were already pretty well beat up, but I wore them to Antigo. Shoot, this was probably 2012, and I had the shoes for like 3 or 4 years after that. They were just, you know, beater work shoes, but they were stained red forever. I mean, I hosed them off. I did what I could, but yeah, you're right. It sticks to you, and maybe that's why we're excited to get back. It's like stuck to our DNA.
Yeah, they write your name in a footprint, literally, when you go to Antigo each and every year. And it's just great racing. It's a great facility, and they've been working in the soil. A lot of teams have been testing beforehand now. You haven't seen that in the past, so I expect some great racing because of the track time and the layout's been the same for the last couple of years.
One of the other nice things about being closer to home is that it's closer to home for a lot of, especially our sportsman racers, but even some of our pros. There are a ton of drivers who were not at Wheatland who are going to be in the mix from Antigo and hopefully beyond, but let's hit some of the headlines there. The headline for me, man, Cole Mamer picks up that win in round one at Wheatland. Originally planned on running a limited schedule, maybe like Wheatland, Crandon, ERX, Crandon, something like that. Then on the podium at Wheatland, he said, maybe I have to rethink this. Since then, he got some support from a fellow racer, Tony Keepers, who owns Argon Lumber and Supply in Rhinelander, and they have a location just north of Crandon in Argon, the namesake of the business. Tony stepped up and said, hey, I'll give you some support, so you'll see Argon Lumber on the door of Cole Mamer's truck. How great is that? A racer helping out a racer from another class just to help him make the show.
Well, you know, I mean, Tony probably sees the enthusiasm and the effort and the work ethic out of Cole Mamer and that whole group and his whole team, because Cole's wanting to go out and win races. You've seen it in Pro Light.
Starting to see it in Pro 4, too.
Yeah, and you're seeing him dominating. Once he gets out front, he knows how to wheel those trucks. And Tony Keepers, it was just a green light for him, you know? I mean, it probably wasn't a big check, but it was enough to get him to go back and forth and to take care of anything that goes wrong through the weekend. So it's cool to see locally drivers and sponsors and local companies helping out these racers, because that just shows you the passion in the Midwest and around the Crandon area. In the Midwest racers, what they do for each and every person.
Right, and if you're a fan who's going to be at Antigo Lines Roaring Raceway, if you're a Cole Mamer fan especially, make sure you go find Tony Keepers and thank him for the support to get your favorite out there in the mix in Pro 4. The other big truck class, though, Pro 2, it's going to get a little bit deeper. Obviously, Ronnie Anderson not racing here at Antigo. He was at Wheatland, but we're gaining three other trucks. Kyle Cooper, Zach Sikowski and Aaron Holiday. Sikowski had 6 top fives last year, so we know that he's going to be competitive. And I talked to Kyle Cooper a little bit, and he said, and I quote, "I've never been more confident heading into a Pro 2 weekend. I think the truck is really good," end quote. Those guys are going to add some more fun to that class.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about, right? You know, you don't want to see the same group of people win each and every weekend, so you hope you have a big group. It makes it challenging for these drivers to win each and every time, and it's not easy to do, especially at Antigo. The fenders are going to be flying, the fists are going to be up, and there's not a lot of room there, so you really got to earn your spot.
A few other drivers joining the party in Mod Cart. That class is getting a whole lot deeper. I think I counted 13 trucks in the field now. Of course, the veterans, Colin Peitel and Ella Holcher, and then two rookies in the class, the younger siblings, Camden Peitel and Finley Holcher, making their debut in Mod Cart this weekend. Again, that's already a super fun class. We had two first-time winners in that class at Wheatland. Now we're adding four really, really talented drivers, fast trucks, into that group. I was just talking on Facebook comments today. You know, people are calling for Mod Cart to be pushed further back in the schedule, like closer to the finale of sportsman racing, and I'm all for it, man. That class has been extremely fun the last 3, 4, 5 years now.
Yeah, it's very talented, and the car count's really deep, and the driving is just second to none. I mean, now that we get the Holgers back in there and the Peitels, we're going to see a lot more great competition. They're going to be battling for the top three spots. So each and every one of those car drivers come into this weekend in Antigo, they're going to have to put their head down if they want to win in this division, because I agree, it should be closer to the end of the day of the sportsman, because they put on one hell of a show.
Well, one more big name pro driver making his return to Pro 4, at least, Kyle Chaney. He'll be there in Pro 4 and Pro side-by-side in his own equipment. I'm thinking back to, I think it was 2023. You remember the race I'm talking about, where day one, round one of that year, Kyle Chaney broke early in Pro side-by-side, had to start dead last on day two, came from like 21st to first in, what, three and a half laps, ended up winning that race. I'm expecting big things out of Chaney in Pro side-by-side for sure. How do you think he can stack up in Pro 4?
Well, I mean, side-by-sides, there's no any way other way to put it in my head is he's going to be right there in the end, no matter what. But Pro 4, he's had time in the Pro 4 now. He didn't get a chance after that big crash to get much seat time in it, but he's going to be confident. He should be, because he's really put the ropes in, and he knows how to tie up to the best in the business, and it's just going to be a matter of time before he's back up on that podium, because after a big crash, I don't think it really scared him or anything, because he's a tough, fit man. He's just mentally got to get back with the truck and do business.
Yeah, and that can be a little bit tough to do that, like you said. You know, and maybe this is a good time to talk about what we can expect in Pro Spec from Dylan Parsons coming off that huge crash that he had in Wheatland.
Right.
Same story, a big crash just a month ago. Not injured, or at least not that you and I know about, but again, a huge crash. We know he was a little bit shaken up and no doubt sore. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of athlete you are, you take a tumble like that in a race truck, those belts, they're digging in ways you didn't know that they could. Do you think he is going to be back at full strength, and not just physically, but to have the confidence, the mental fortitude to run up front?
Well, absolutely. You know, just that crash was just one in a thousand. You know, you try not to overshoot stuff in practice, and he was just trying to figure the truck and the track out, and they just didn't work right away. So they had time, and I believe that they're going to be ready to rock and roll like anyone else would be. They're a very talented group of people over there. I know Matt Gerald, Mikey Vandenhoevel, they're working their butt off, but they had that truck ready to rock the next day in Missouri, and I believe it wouldn't be far off of what it is now, because they don't do nothing half but, you know, they get the job done, and he's going to be one to reckon with. I wouldn't doubt if he's up on top of the box this weekend.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think as tough as Pro Spec is, and there's going to be a couple of, one familiar face and a new face in the field in Pro Spec, Hunter VanZile, who won a race last year, that crazy finish in Bark River. And then Draxton Schimmick driving as part of the father-son team. It'll be Draxton behind the wheel this weekend. That's a big jump for Draxton, coming up from 570s for the last couple of years and jumping into Pro Spec. In that class, again, that's another infusion of talent that we'll see at Antigo.
Yeah, and that's what we like to see. The young guns are taking over this class, if you ask the old dogs in the sport. But at the same time, hey, we love to see the class grow and get bigger. Hunter VanZile, very talented, getting the job done last season. Draxton Schimmick, I mean, coming out of 570s, that's a big jump, like you said. But at the same time, I talked to his father. They're ready to rock and roll, and Zach's actually putting in an order for another prospect. So they will be teammates here shortly in that division. So they dealt with some issues with the truck in Missouri, and they switched some stuff and ended up being a bent input shaft. So they just threw the red flag out and got ready for this coming weekend. So that young talent, look for them to keep progressing and make a stamp in this sport.
I think if there's anything that's on Draxton's side, so we know that the mod cart to pro spec or mod cart to pro light pipeline, that's pretty well established that if you can do well in mod cart, you can do well in the bigger trucks.
Right.
If there's anything that's on Draxton's side, it's that 570, especially last year, was really physical racing. It was super competitive between like eight cars always battling for the win. That experience is going to suit him well. It'll take him a little bit to figure out the truck, certainly, but racing in traffic and holding your own when other drivers are close enough to tear your doors off, I think he's probably so well seasoned on that side of things that it's not going to be a big adjustment for him.
No, and he should adapt well, right? You got to keep your elbows up and you got to hold your own, but his biggest thing is going to get used to getting used to the truck and making him fit himself, because there's a lot more power in those things. You're shifting, you have a lot going on. So we'll have to wait and see, but I expect some big things out of those young guys because they just seem to be progressing in any class they get in.
Another driver that's coming back after a couple years off from short course off-road racing, Joe Sylvester, making his Champ off-road debut racing in Pro Light in a Ryan Beat Motorsports truck. You probably remember his first foray into short course better than I do. I remember him being around, but what do you remember of Joe Sylvester from years back, and how quickly do you think he could be competitive in a really tough pro light class?
Man, Joe's a good guy. He's been around a long time, a monster truck champion. I mean, long jump champion in monster trucks. So he's not afraid. He's not scared of the trucks. I remember when he...
That's a different kind of crazy, man.
Right, right. And and I remember when he bought Mitch Doerr's truck back 7-8 years ago, and he ran a couple seasons and then faded out of it. So it's good to see him in a good truck coming into the series again. And I think he'll adapt well. He's been putting some seat time in at some local dirt tracks, and I watch his social media. He's always wrenching on it. So hopefully big and good things come out of his camp so we can have another one of those competitors right up in that division.
And he brings a new tire company into Champ Off-Road, Arroyo Tires, which, you know, we didn't talk about it a lot in Wheatland, but it usually bubbles up that the tire wars are real. All these trucks running on DOT tires, and you've got Yokohama and Kenda and Maxxis and Toyo and a bunch of other tires.
See Hankook back in the mix.
Yeah,
now.
Hankook. So one more entrant into the tire war as well. Something else to keep an eye on if you have a preferred tire brand out there. Then my last headline, I guess, for what we can expect at Antigo, Pro Buggy is a little bit bigger. 16 cars in the field this weekend. Matt Brister making his season debut. Lorenzo Bonacci, three-time winner last year, also in the field. He swept at Antigo last year, by the way. Maybe a little bit behind the eight ball, not having that seat time at Wheatland. But again, he swept there last year at Antigo. I expect him to be running right up front with, you know, Jordan Bernlohr, Billy Booth, Steiny, and all those guys.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to take long. I mean, after practice, he's going to probably be up in the top 3-4 in that qualifying and in the practice runnings, because he just shows a lot of talent. Anytime he shows up, he's one to reckon with. And like you said, he took home the trophies and the hardware last season in Antigo, so look for him to do a lot of bad things to his competitors. He knows how to set up a car. He's confident. He's young. And it's cool to see him come back, as it is a lot of these drivers.
One quick note on another driver in Pro Buggy, Cole Bernlohr. For sure, Saturday, possibly Sunday, won't be able to make it to Antigo at all. And called on a friend to fill in, take over the driving duties. Some John Fitzgerald guy, a former Pro Buggy champ and a former 1600 Buggy champ, filling in definitely Saturday round three, possibly again in Sunday round four for Cole Bernlohr.
Wow, that's going to be interesting. That'll be cool for Johnny Fitzgerald to get in the seat of a Pro Buggy once again. But man, oh man, he's not going to lose much behind the wheel, so that's a good pick on his part.
Yeah, you could do really a whole lot worse than Fitzgerald And that's interesting for Fitzgerald, too. We know that he's made this jump up into pro stock side-by-side. That's going to give him a chance a little earlier in the day to see the racetrack, get a little extra seat time, you know, Friday and Saturday at least. I wonder if that'll serve him well in pro stock, too.
Oh, yeah. I believe anytime you can get more track time and you feel the track, you get to look and walk around and drive that course and see how it breaks apart or stays together in some areas, it's always an advantage. And you see guys like CJ Greaves using that as well as the Van Eprens. I mean, anytime you get those four wheels down on the ground, more laps than your competitors, you're going to have that little umph on everyone.
Brent, I want to pick your brain a little bit. We saw a few notable debuts in the pro classes back in the opener at the Show Me Off-Road Shootout at Lucas Oil Speedway. First, let's single out a couple of those drivers from Pro Light. Gray Ledbetter made her Pro Light debut, finished fourth in round one. She also qualified fourth. And Joe Machosik qualified fifth. He had some issues in both rounds, finished near the back of the field, but showed that speed. What do you expect from those two drivers in Pro Light here at Antigo, a track that both those drivers have raced on plenty before this year?
Oh, I expect a lot of good things, especially out of Gray Ledbetter. She's won there in the past at the Pro Spec division. She knows how to get around there. She's got more power. She's getting more seat time. I thought it was a very cool and impressive debut in Pro Light with her and Joey Machosik as well. We watched him in practice. He looked smooth. I was able to drive that truck a couple years back. It's a very nice piece. It's an older truck, but if you respect it, it's really quick. And he put it upside down, just driving it hard, right? So he'll find that happy medium and that edge, like we like to call it. And I look for bigger things because he's won there. He knows how to get around there as well. So both these young, talented drivers look for good opportunities for them in this short track.
Yeah, talking about Machosik a little bit, you know, you said that he was willing to push as aggressively as he did. I think where a lot of drivers struggle, especially moving into Pro Light because they're so difficult to drive, is that they tend to be way too conservative. It's really easy to not push the limits nearly enough. And it's really tough to convince yourself, okay, I can go this much harder. I can still squeeze a little bit more out. So that he came out of the gates like that, was fast, was aggressive, is a really, really good sign. He can dial it back. We know that. We saw the evolution of Joey as a driver in Superstock, how fast he got after a couple years in that class where he was just about unbeatable for a couple years. I think he's got the makeup of a really good Pro Light driver.
Yeah, he does, and he rides dirt bikes as well on the side just having fun. So he respects his equipment, and like you said, he's going to tone it back a little bit and find that happy place for him in the truck. And it's going to be hard here at Antigo with all these tight turns, and you're going to have to put that nose where you don't want to put it. It's not a lot of high speed, but at the same time, you don't want to get off the track line because you can lose a lot of positions. His biggest thing is he's going to want to be consistent. He wants to be there, and he's looking for a podium. I know him. He's a go-getter. He wants to win in that class. It's going to be challenging. But him and Gray Ledbetter, they have a lot of skill and a lot of confidence that's going to bring them a long way.
Well, another trio of drivers in that I want to talk about from Pro Stock side-by-side that made their pro debuts back at Wheatland. David Gay, last year's Pro-Am side-by-side champ, comes out of the weekend fifth in points. He was also fifth in the final results in round two. Johnny Fitzgerald, who we talked about a little bit earlier, finished 10th and 8th in Wheatland. And then Marcus Catlin struggled a little bit, two 16th place finishes in his pro stock side-by-side debut. What do you expect out of those three here at Antigo? Again, those are drivers that have a ton of laps at Antigo.
Well, it's just like the Gray Ledbetter and Joey Machosik, right? They all have had that track time. They know what Antigo's about. It hasn't changed. So if they get their setups right and get to feel comfy in their own cars, they're going to be very tough. I mean, David Gay, he's showing talent anywhere we've went in that confidence. I'll say it again. He always is positive on his interview speeches. He always knows he can win and he expects to win. John Fitzgerald's the same way. He's been very talented. He's come from the Pro Light ranks into the single buggies, now back in starting in the Pro Stock side-by-sides, building a state-of-the-art piece, which I got to see in person and you've seen it. It's cool to see them, you know, they're innovators in our sport as well. And he's building cars for other teams as well, too.
Really, I expect better from all three of those drivers. You know, Catlin didn't have a great start to the season, but you know, what he showed last year in Pro-Am side by side, you know, finished on the podium, was constantly competing up there in the top five, and that's a really tough class to run up in the front end as well. Obviously, in pro stock, you're racing against guys with like factory support and much bigger budgets, but all three of those drivers, you know, Gay and Fitzgerald wouldn't surprise me if they finished on the podium here at Antigo, and Marcus Catlin, I'm seeing, you know, top five as a bare minimum. I think he's going to be in that mix.
Yeah, and I didn't get to talk about Catlin that much, but he's a really nice person, as well as he's confident and he's a good mechanic as well to keep that car prepped. So yeah, the finishes sometimes aren't there, but each and every day is different, right? You can't go against what happened yesterday. You got to keep your eyes focused, and those three can strike at any time.
Yeah, Catlin, a former world champion ice oval snowmobile racer in the Formula 500 division at Eagle River, by the way. So he knows how to win notable races and still adjusting to off-road, no doubt. But like I said, all three of those drivers, again, I think they're all going to improve on how they did back at Wheeland.
Well, fans, as always, this podcast is presented by AMSOIL. Do you love power and performance? How about saving money? AMSOIL preferred customers save up to 25% on AMSOIL products and receive free shipping, exclusive promos, and more. Visit AMSOIL.com and sign up today.
Well, we spent a lot of time so far talking about goings on in the pro ranks, but sportsman classes, you know, those, a lot of those drivers did show up and we're thankful that they did to Wheatland, even though it's a long haul for a lot of those guys and gals. But the classes, all of them in sportsman ranks, are going to be a little bit bigger, like 10% to 20% bigger at Antigo, and presumably for the rest of the season here for our Midwest swing for the sportsmen. I think a lot of drivers chose Wheatland as their two drop rounds, so fuller fields pretty much across the board. So far, Stock Truck 2-for-2 on having different winners through the first two rounds. Do you want to throw out a guess how long that trend is going to continue, that they have different winners? Remember, it was, what, 10 straight races last year that they started the season without a repeat winner?
Yeah, it was 10. Yeah, I think we at least go 5-6 in a row here without the same truck winner, because just that's how talented that field is. And we've seen it, like you said, in 2024. When you have that many good trucks and drivers in the class, it's going to shake things up. And I love it. It's fun. Every day it keeps it interesting for us.
The two winners at Wheatland, by the way, were Brian Piott and Dustin Rogaczewski. Colt Wurzba actually going to race both sportsman truck classes. He's driving his sister Caitlin's truck at Antigo, the 577. Tyler Hoffman, Kyle Jenshack, Kurt Graff, all winners last year that haven't won a race yet. So I like five. I think we can make it to at least five between those drivers. And who knows, maybe one of the relative unproven drivers in the field might surprise us too. You never know how that's going to go in that class.
Yeah, I love that class. Stock Truck's always been one of my favorites because you really got to drive it. You got to keep the truck alive until the end. I mean, Jenshack, we'll have to see what he can do. He never came out to Wheatland. He's another one of those drivers. He was probably working all weekend at his normal job, so he didn't get to make it out. So when you can use that weekend as a drop weekend, I look for him to be strong here at Antigo as well.
Should be his birthday coming up too. I remember that we have the last couple of years at Antigo, we've always wished him a happy birthday during his race. So I know it falls on one of these days.
Yeah, you know, it's always a bigger weekend if you can get the job done on your birthday weekend. It makes it special for you and your family. And he's been very tough in the class. He's had a lot of teething problems, and I think he's one to watch coming into Antigo, as well as a lot of those drivers. There's not a lot of trucks in this division, but every truck that's in can win at any time.
I think that sets up nicely the next two classes I want to talk about, short course kart and mod kart. Short course kart had two first career winners at Wheatland, and then mod kart had a first career winner in Dakota Akins, and then Wes Vandevort got his first mod kart win. Again, champions from both of those classes have graduated. Those classes are both wide open. Brent, I'm going to keep beating the drum for all the youth classes, but especially these two. Help me out a little bit. Tell the fans they have to see those races too. Don't miss out on the kart classes.
Yeah, I don't care how hot it is out or what you have to do back at home watching on Flow. You have to make sure you write these classes down on our schedule, because these drivers are our future and they know how to wheel these little carts, and they're so equal. So it makes it so much fun to watch and call the races, because at any given time, that one little bobble, it can cost you a lot of time on the racetrack. And these drivers, they're very talented, so it's fun.
Imagine the clap emoji along with this, but Do not miss the cart classes. That was a really bad. It's really tough to do visual gags on a podcast format, so I apologize, but I don't know how else to emphasize. Like, those classes are legitimately among my two favorite classes across. I think I already said on the podcast, my takeaway race, like the one I'm going to remember for a while, was round two short course cart from Wheatland. That's the one that's stuck on repeat in my brain.
Yeah, they create great racing, and it normally comes right down to the checkered flag, right to the end, bumper to bumper. And honestly, yeah, our blood will be flowing. And it just so happens we get to call those races once again, Shade. So the excitement will be there. And it goes a little bit tighter. I always say it fits these short course carts in these mod cart classes a little bit better because there's not a lot of big straightaways. There's a lot of driving that needs to be done. So it'll be fun to watch.
Well, some big short course industry news also that pertains to Champ Off Road. We have partnered with Polaris for the rest of the 25 season.
Heck yeah.
I don't think if you're listening to this podcast, you don't know what Polaris is. Well, first of all, welcome to Off-Road Racing.
Come and hit you with a tack hammer.
No. Right. 70-plus years of excellence in motorsports, snow, dirt, everything else. The Razor platform that you see racing in our pro side-by-side classes has won in not just Champ Off-Road and other short course series, but Baja, Dakar, basically all over the globe. And they have a factory race parts, Razor race parts division. You can get factory-made race-ready parts. And I remember CJ Greaves on the podium at Wheatland talking about that.
Right, I remember.
Yeah, his Pro R is mostly factory parts. It's, you know, the cage is fabricated in-house, but for the most part, everything that bolts on, that's stuff that came from the factory.
Yeah.
We're getting closer to when motocross, supercross started to really blow up in the early 80s, where there was true factory race programs. We're getting there in short course racing. It's so great to see that.
Yeah, and I think it was just a matter of time. But I mean, as you and I grew older and came from the young days of what, the 90s growing through, and we watched the factory teams and watched Ford, Chevrolet, Nissan come through. And now it seems that they are bouncing back through. They're seeing the longevity in the sport. And why wouldn't you want to be a part of Champ Off Road? I'm not getting paid to say any of this, but just to say,
well, we kind of are.
But no, but you know what I mean? I'm not pushing any factory, but we want these big corporations in our group of Champ Off-Road. And if you can bring Chevrolet, Ford, now we're bringing Polaris. I mean, that's huge for our sport. So they're actually opening their eyes now and seeing that it is a marketing business for them to create more opportunity to sell more rigs out on the streets and out on the sales, because CJ Greaves, like, he does stress it, like you said, a lot of this is factory stuff, so you don't have to go out and go spend 90 hours in the shop trying to fabricate a part. You can just buy it.
You cannot go to a dealership and buy a Pro 2, not yet, but you can go to a dealership and, you know, buy the totally race spec Polaris Pro R.
Yeah, that it's so cool to see, because it brings costs down and it brings parts easier to bring to the track each and every weekend. And if you run a Polaris nowadays, I believe CJ and Johnny, they have just about every spare part you can imagine at their hauler or wherever they store it at their shop. And that's what makes it nice, because that's why I think it's grown, Shane, so big. The side-by-side industry is because we have so much talent, so many teams, and so many parts out there now, because there's hundreds of cars.
Yeah, and another company that actually Champ has partnered with since Wheatland, UTV Race Shop, based in Texas, but they're an online shop for performance and racing UTV parts for all makes and models. Basically, whatever side-by-side you own, they probably have something for you, and they're coming on board as well, so we appreciate that support. That's one more way, like you talked about, parts availability. We know that with supply chain issues over the last 5-6 years, it can be tough to get your hands on parts. Well, UTV Race Shop, they've probably got what you need, and now they're going to come on board and support our racers here in Champ Off Road. So glad to have them on board as well.
Yeah, we welcome them with open arms, and we hope that more people see into it and see what they could do for all of us as groups, as teams, and those series sponsors help us keep moving forward to bigger and better things.
Well, one other thing that we are keeping an eye on throughout this season, or at least throughout the early stages of the season, CJ Greaves, that win count entered the season at 188. He picked up four in Wheatland. He's now at 192. By the way, racing Pro Fours at Antigo, CJ Greaves, undefeated all-time racing Pro Four at Antigo Lions Roaring Raceway. Any guess on what that win total jumps up to after this weekend?
Man, if there was eight possible races for him, I believe he'd hit 200 this weekend. I mean, not just...
He swept in round two.
Yeah, and I mean, the Pro Four class is getting very challenging, but obviously CJ does what he needs to do to get up front each and every time. And I think that number is going to keep climbing. I mean, we can keep counting it, and you could ask CJ 5 days from now and he'd be like, yeah, I think it's like 190, but I don't keep count. Like, he knows it's a lot and he don't use it to go and trash talk people. You don't hear him bragging that he has the most wins. He's just adding them up, right? He's that talented. He's good at what he does. And I love that he's more hands-on on the trucks the last 5 years in the cars, and it's really showing, proving him to be even the best in the world.
Yeah, and by the way, as that win total approaches 200, CJ just turned 30 years old just a couple days ago, so happy birthday, CJ. Everybody, it seems like it's every racer's birthday all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's crazy to see that kid at 30 years old, 192 career victories. It seems like it's 300. Every time right. that we call his races, I believe you got to think. Remember when Lucas Oil was out west and we had Amsoil Champ Off-Road here? When we were going back and forth, if you think that CJ, if he would have had the budget to keep going out there, that win total probably would have been, you know, another 15, 20 races. Not saying that...
We would have been talking about 200 a couple of years ago.
Right, right. And I just think it just wasn't there for him. He didn't have that opportunity when you had Kyle out there in Monster or Rick Huseman out there. So, I mean, that number could be different, but that number is going to keep growing whether we like it or not.
Well, we talked about how we're excited to get back to Antigo, a place that, you know, feels like home for both of us in some small way. I think Antigo has given us some really memorable races. You know, I remember a really wild Pro 4 race just a couple years ago. We talked about Kyle Chaney's comeback in that Pro side-by-side race back in 2023. There was a four-way battle for a race win in Pro Light in 2023. There was a four-way battle in Pro Spec for a race win last year. What class do you think is going to give us that signature moment this weekend?
Man, I think it's going to be those open wheel pro buggies because there's so many cars, so much great talent. I know, and I feel like each and every year that we go at this, Shane, that you got me pulling towards your buggy dorkism, if you want to call it. And I just respect a lot of those guys. I respect all of them. But just to drive those cars on a tight track, there's going to be cars upside down. There's going to be tires getting sheared off on the big tractor tires. I look for that class and that division all weekend long to bring some great racing. And I couldn't tell you right now. I have some guys' names going through my head, but I couldn't tell you who's going to win the opener there. I can't.
Yeah, I think Pro Buggy is a great pick to give us a really memorable one. I'm going to give you two, and I'm going to make a bold prediction for one of them. One of the classes, I'm going to beat the drum one more time. I think Mod Cart is going to give us a really, really good fight there. Like you said, that track's not really big, so it's not just mash the throttle and relax for a little bit. Technical track, even for those small trucks, but they absolutely rip around that racetrack. It's going to be a really competitive battle. And again, a lot of drivers who are not yet fully proven in that class but have shown the speed, I think we're going to see like a 4 or 5 truck race for the lead. Another one, I think Pro Light is going to give us another signature one. And I'm going to make a prediction here, and it's kind of based on that Pro Light race from a couple of years ago. I think that Michael Funk is going to win a Pro Light race. Take that with a grain of salt, because my predictions when we have Nolan on there, I'm zero for lifetime. But that is my bold prediction for this weekend.
No, I like it all. I love all your predictions, and I love what even you all the think wrong about ones. Funk. Yeah, you know, we got to throw it at it. We're not perfect, right? We're just trying to guess in the best possible way. And I think Funk fits the part in Pro Light very well. I got to race against him. He's aggressive. He's not going to take you
smooth
out.
Smooth, too.
Yeah, and he's really comfy with the truck, and he's got that LS. He's got the horsepower. He's got his father behind him 120%. And I could see it happening. We can't predict anything. 90% of the time we're wrong, like you said, but I can guarantee you he's going to be right there. He's already had how many podiums?
Yeah, it's been a good handful, and like I said, that's my pick. That's my bold prediction. You can write it down. You can complain at me later when I'm wrong. Hopefully for Michael Sake. This is not an announcer's curse type situation. I'll
just
knock
get
on
at
my
you on
desk.
Facebook. Just Messenger's good.
We'll make one more prediction. Again, we're probably going to be wrong about this one, but looking at the weather for this weekend, likely to maybe get some intermittent rain on Friday during practice and qualifying. Not enough to interrupt the day for more than a few minutes at a time, probably. Saturday, beautiful, sunny, 70-ish degrees, perfect racing weather. Of course, Antigo Lions Roaring Raceway has those covered grandstands, so with the sun out, it'll still be really comfortable for the fans that are no doubt going to pack the house. Sunday, we got a chance of rain in the morning, probably not enough to set us back, at least what I'm seeing now. And again, if I'm wrong about this, don't blame me, just blame Google. I literally Googled Antigo weather a few hours before we recorded, so blame them, not me. But looks like good racing weather, man.
Yeah, the moisture's always there at Antigo, and you know that clay is going to absorb it well, and they always find us a race surface no matter what happens with Mother Nature. So we'll keep positive thoughts, and Antigo's going to be quick no matter what. It's going to be fun to see Zach and everyone from Antigo, and all of our friends and family is just what we love to do in the summertime is call off-road racing. And I'm telling you, I don't know who's going to win. That's what makes it so special.
I know who's going to win. You and I are going to win because we're going to have a great time this weekend. Well, the next time you hear from us, we will be live at Antigo Lions Roaring Raceway, round three opening ceremonies, 9:45 a.m. Central Time. We'll see you there, or you will hear us on Flow Racing. That'll do it for this episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. He's Brent Smith. I'm Shane Stetsny. And if you're listening to this on the drive up to Antigo, I suggest after you hit the stop button on the podcast, jam some Creed all the way to Antigo. We'll talk to you again very soon.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil.
Well, I'm going to stumble over my words and then try again.